Hello everyone. Today we continue our series on the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos with the 31st mitzvah, the mitzvah of Shiluach min HaMachane, the mitzvah of sending people who are impure outside of the camp. Now, this mitzvah can be traced back to Parshas B'Ha'aloscha. Sefer Bamidbar, the book of Bamidbar, opened up with Parshas Bamidbar, Parshas Nasa, and Parshas B'Aloscha. During those three parshios, the Jewish people were commanded to set up their camp. The Jewish people were counted, they were organized by family, they were organized by tribe, they were organized in groups of three tribes, they each had flags, they each had nesim, they had princes, and Hashem told them how to set up the Jewish camp. And after all was said and done, there were three levels. You had Machane Shechina, you had the camp of the Shechina, where the Mishkan was, and then surrounding that you had what was known as Machane Leviyah, the camp of the Levim, that's where Moshe was, that's where Aaron was, that's where all the rest of the Levim were. And then surrounding that were all the rest of the Jewish people. And that became known as Machane Yisrael. Now, once all of that had been set up, with the locus point, the center of it, being the Machane Shechina, the camp of the Shechina, Hashem said, okay, now all of the Jewish camps, because they're surrounded, because they're surrounding the Mishkan, there is a certain Kiddusha, there is a certain holiness to it, and therefore people that are Tamei are not allowed to be there. Now, it doesn't mean that any type of tumah, any type of impurity, means that a person has to leave the entire Jewish civilization. That's not true. Rather, there are different degrees of impurity, and depending on what type of tumah a person has come in contact with, determines which camps they have to leave. So, the most lenient is tumas meis, somebody that came in contact with a dead body. So there, the only place that a person is not allowed to go is Machane Shechina. They're not allowed to go to the Mishkan. So anybody that came in contact with a dead body needed to be sent out of the Mishkan. However, you were allowed to remain in Machane Leviyah with Moshe and Aaron, and you were certainly allowed to remain in Machane Yisrael with the rest of the Jewish people. And as a proof to that, the Rambam actually quotes a Medrash that says that Moshe, who the Torah says took Yosef's bones out of Egypt, Moshe was still fulfilling his duty, right? In Moshe's mind at that point, he was planning on bringing them into the land of Israel to bury. And so Moshe was still a shliach. Moshe was still an agent trying to fulfill the last wishes of Yosef. And so Moshe actually kept Yosef's coffin right nearby his tent at all times. And so even after the Mishkan was set up, because Moshe lived in Machane Leviyah, Yosef's coffin was able to remain nearby in that camp. On the other end of the spectrum, the most severe type of tumah, the most severe type of impurity, at least in this regard, is mitzora, is leprosy. Somebody that has leprosy, they need to be sent out of all three camps. They need to be sent out of the entire Jewish civilization. As the Torah says, Badad Yeshev, the Mitzora, the leper, needs to sit completely alone and to reflect on what sins they committed that brought them to that point. Then there is what's known as a Baal Keri, somebody that has a seminal emission. So that's sort of an in-between case. They're not allowed to be in the Machane Shechina or the Machane Leviyah. They're not allowed to be by the Mishkan or with the Leviyim or with Moshe and Aaron, but they are allowed to be in Machane Yisrael. They are allowed to be with the rest of the Jewish people. So you have different types of impurity, and each of those impurities means that you're allowed to be in certain camps, but not in other camps. Now, what we've been speaking about until now is only relevant when the Jewish people had a camp in the desert. What happened when they came to Israel? Well, the halachos remained in place. The Rambam still counts this as a mitzvah. This was not just a temporary mitzvah. And the categories that we had in the desert were transposed to Yerushalayim. So Machane Shechina in Yerushalayim refers to the Beis HaMikdash itself, the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, as well as certain parts of the temple courtyard. So if somebody is a Tamei Meis, somebody came in contact with a dead body, they're not allowed to go into the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, and they're also not allowed to go to certain parts of the temple courtyard. However, they are allowed to be in Machane Leviah. They are allowed to be in the Levi camp, in the Levite camp. So where is that in Yerushalayim? Well, that refers to the entire Temple Mount, as well as certain parts of the Temple Courtyard. Not all of it, but certain parts. And so when people say that there's a whole debate about whether we're halachically allowed to go up to Har HaBayis, we're allowed to ascend the Temple Mount, that's actually a misnomer. Everybody agrees that that part of the Temple Mount itself is completely mutter for somebody that just came in contact with a dead body. That's not a problem. The problem is going to the spot on Har HaBayis where the structure of the Beis HaMikdash was and where part of the Temple Courtyard was. And so the debate is, well, do we know exactly where that is so that we can say with certainty that we're allowed to go here or we're not allowed to go here? So as we just said, Machane Shechina refers to the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, or the area where the Beis HaMikdash is, as well as part of the Temple Courtyard. Machane Leviah, there's a little bit of a debate, but Machane Leviah refers to the rest of the Temple Mount, and Machane Yisrael refers to the rest of the city of Yerushalayim. And so a Mitzorah, somebody that is a leper, they have to be sent out of the entire city. A Baal Kerith, as we said before, can't be on Har HaBayis. They can't be in the Beis HaMikdash and the Machane Shechina, and they're also not allowed to be in the Temple Mount because that is considered to be the Levi camp, the Levi camp. But they are allowed to be in Yerushalayim itself, since that is Machane Yisrael. So now, let's go to the Rambam. The Rambam, as we said before, counts in the 31st mitzvah, the mitzvah of sending people out of the camp. So as we spoke about, there are many camps. So, and there are also many different types of tumah. So what type of camp are we talking about? So the Rambam says the camp that we're speaking about is Machane Shechina, is the place where the Mishkan was, or the place where the Beis HaMikdash was. So if that's the case, who does this mitzvah apply to? As we said before, there are many people that need to be sent out of the area where the Beis HaMikdash is. There are people that are Tamei Meis, people that came in contact with dead bodies. You have a Mitzora, someone that has Tzaras, or you have a Baal Keri. So who is it referring to? And the Rambam says quite simply that it's referring to everybody. It's referring to all different types of people that are Tamei. They need to be sent out. And so according to the Rambam, this mitzvah, if you take sort of the broad perspective, this mitzvah is telling us that the Beis HaMikdash area has a very high degree of Kedusha, and it has a high sensitivity to impurity, and therefore it needs to be reserved for people that are pure, and people that are Tamei need to be asked to leave. That's the opinion of the Rambam. The Yerayim, however, one of the other Ashkenazi people that counted the mitzvos of the Rishonim, he argues with the Rambam, and he says that no. The mitzvah that the Rambam specifically counted is talking about just sending away the Baal Keri, someone that had a seminal emission. Each of the other ones have their own mitzvah, a mitzora, who needs to be sent out of all three camps. That is its own mitzvah, which the Rambam himself also counts. And the prohibition or the mitzvah to send out someone that came in contact with a dead body, that has its own mitzvah as well. And so what's interesting is that according to the Yerayim, there's no general mitzvah of maintaining the sanctity of the temple, of the Beis HaMikdash, vis-a-vis impurity. Rather, each of these categories of individual people are not allowed to be in the Beis HaMikdash for various reasons. So the Mitzora is not allowed to be in the Beis HaMikdash because they need to be alone. It has nothing to do with the high sensitivity of the Beis HaMikdash to impurity. According to the Yerayim, it's very simple. They just need to be sent away. They need to reflect on what they did. And similarly, the mitzvah to send out someone that came in contact with a dead body, that has to do with the Beis HaMikdash being the source of life. and somebody that came in contact with a dead body, they are not on the same wavelength at this point to interface with the Beis HaMikdash. And then finally, the Baal Keri. The Baal Keri in rabbinic literature was generally associated with Kalus Rosh, somebody that is not steeped in Kedusha in the sense of having Hashem on their mind at all times. So, for example, Aaron and Miriam were not allowed, were felt uncomfortable when Hashem suddenly appeared to them after they were intimate with their spouses. And because of that, they felt uncomfortable when Hashem appeared to them to rebuke them for speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe. And the reason is because even though that might be a normal component of human life, nevertheless, it's not the single-minded focus that is appropriate when someone enters into the divine presence or into the area of the Beis HaMikdash, or even the Machane Leviyah. And so therefore, that's a completely different reason why they need to be asked to leave the Machane Shechina, why they need to be asked to leave the Beis HaMikdash area. Not because of the Beis HaMikdash being incompatible with certain types of tumah per se, but rather it's the reason, it's the case-specific reason, which in this case is because they are not single-mindedly focused at this point on Hashem. And so, either way, we have two reasons, or two kind of broad takes on this mitzvah of shiluach min hamachane. You have the Rambam, who kind of lumps all of these cases of tumah together in one mitzvah, and Rav Lichtenstein explains that the Rambam's perspective on the mitzvah is that we focus on the Beis HaMikdash, that the Beis HaMikdash has Kedusha, and that Kedusha is incompatible with certain types of impurity, and people need to be asked to leave. Rav Lichtenstein says that the Yireyim had a completely different perspective. The Yireyim says that the reason why people were sent out was not because of the incompatibility of Kedusha and Tumah per se, but rather each of the categories of people that were asked to leave had specific case-specific reasons that were manifested by the Tumah that they contracted for why they were unable to be, to remain in the presence of the Shechina, to remain in the presence of the Machane Shechina, of in the presence of the Beis HaMikdash or and the Mishkan. But either way, as we begin the period of the 3 weeks when we mourn the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and reflect on the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, it's important for us to not only focus on the negative. According to the Rambam, this is a mitzvah aseh. This is a positive mitzvah, not just a negative mitzvah of not doing it. And so even though this mitzvah involves what might seem as sending people away and trying to push people away, we should realize that all of us now have been pushed away to a certain extent from the Beis HaMikdash because the Beis HaMikdash is no longer there. And we should take this opportunity to reflect not only on the negative but on the positive, on how great the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is, like the Rambam says, and to reflect on the loss and how much we're yearning for the Beis HaMikdash that it should be rebuilt in our times. Have a wonderful week.